I just want to say, Mi ka'amcha Yisrael, take a look at the number of people that come to a shir about Shemitah. Do you understand that the angels in heaven are jumping for joy and they're saying, Rabbeinu Shem, did you take a look at the Israel Center this morning? Do you see what's going on over there? At Sinai you gave a halacha about Shemitah and they care. They're interested, they're involved. It's really very, very beautiful. Okay, now we have a job to do. On the sheets that each two of you have in front of you, I begin with the very first two psukim, the very first two psukim in Parashat Behar Vayedaber Hashem al Moshe Behar Sinai Limor, and God spoke to Moshe at Mount Sinai, saying, Tabel b'nei Yisrael, speak to the children of Israel, or Matalem, and you shall tell them, Ki tavo el haaretz, asher ani noteh lechem, when you will come to the land that I give to you, v'shavata haaretz shabbat l'Hashem. The land shall observe a Sabbath rest for Hashem. The famous Rashi, we have the Rashi light right there. All of Torah was said at Sinai. Why here does the pasuk say, first pasuk, Vayedaber Hashem, God spoke to Moshe at Mount Sinai? All of Torah was given at Sinai, but you can go through all of Torah and all it says by the introduction to each parasha, Vayedaber Hashem el Moshe lemor, God spoke to Moshe, so saying. Only here, the parasha of Shemitah, it says, Vayedaber Hashem, God spoke to Moshe Behar Sinai. Look at the Rashi. And of course, here comes a famous expression. It becomes, because of this Rashi, a famous expression in Hebrew. My inyan Shemitah Eitzel Har Sinai. What does Shemitah have uniquely to do with Sinai than any other mitzvah? Doesn't. What is the matter of Shemitah doing next to Mount Sinai? In other words, why does the Torah say on Mount Sinai specifically in the context of the laws of Shemitah as opposed to other laws? And the other parasha in Torah could have begun with Vayedaber Hashem al Moshe Behar Sinai Lemar. V'halo kol ha-mitzvot nemru b'Sinai. Were not all of the commandments stated at Sinai? Ella, Rashi answers, that it is written here to teach, Ma Shemitah nemru klaloteha upratoteha v'digdukeha m'Sinai. Just as with regard to Shemitah, its general rules and its details and its fine points were stated at Sinai, afkulon, so from here, from Shemitah, we learn, just as the Torah here is going to outline quite clearly the laws of Shemitah, so you should know that that's the model. Just as the laws of Shemitah were told to us in detail at Sinai, so you should know that all other laws that were given at Sinai were in fact given with all of their details. Not everything was written in Torah, but it became part of Torah Shebaal Peh, the oral law that was transmitted to Moshe, Moshe to Yoshua, Yoshua to the Canaan. We have a 3,500 years of an oral law that comes hand in hand together with the written law. Torah Shebaal Peh and Torah Shebichtav, both of them were given together at Sinai. Af Kula, Rashi goes on to say, so too all of them, Nemru Klalotein v'Dikdukein v'Sinai, all other mitzvahs, general rules and their fine points were stated at Sinai. Kach shnuya b'Toras Kohanim. That's what it says in Toras Kohanim, which is the halachic medrash on Sefer Vayikra. V'nira li, Rashi says, it seems to me shekach peyushah, that this is its explanation. L'fi shelo motzinu shmitas karkois shenishteis b'arvos moav. Rashi says the meaning of this statement of our rabbis is Shemitas Karkoz, the fact that land is returned in Shemitah year, and even not to work the land, does not appear in Sefer Dvarim. Now everything should have been repeated in Sefer Dvarim, which is Moshe Rabbeinu's review of all of Torah. But the halacha of Shemitah of land does not appear in Sefer Dvarim Shenish Neis Ba'arvot Moab, which was repeated at the end of the 40 years on the plains of Moab. B'Mishnah Torah, in Mishnah Torah, which is Dvarim. Lamadnu. So since nothing is said there about it, obviously where was it said? It was all said when it was originally given at Sinai. Lamadnu, so therefore we learn, Sheklalotehu Uprataha Kula Nemru B'Sinai. General rules and details are all stated at Sinai. Ubakatovli made Khan. The pasuk here is coming to tell us that every statement that was made by Moshe was a written statement in Torah, plus plus all of that Torah Shebal Peh. Rav Shamsham Afol Hirsch at the beginning of Parashat Shvatim says, if you want an example, what Torah is like the notes that are taken by a student at a lecture or a shiur. Now, you take notes. Everybody takes notes, you know. I remember the way we say, can I borrow your notes? Can I borrow your... No, you will never understand my notes. Everybody has something very unique about their own notes. You make exclamation marks, you underline, you use words that were used by the professor that could only be understood by somebody who was present at the lecture. She says, that's Torah. Torah, to those who were taught Torah by Moshe, everything was clear. The written word? Oh, the written word recalled all that was said at Sinai. The example that's used to establish this principle is the halacha of Shemitah. That just as at Shemitah, it is not repeated later. Everything is said here. And it says in Torah Vayadaber Hashem El Moshe Bahar Sinai, everything else, Torah Shebichtav and Torah Shebapeh, come from Sinai. There is very beautiful idea that is expressed by Rabbi Shlomo Yosef Zevin, Zecher Tzadik L'Vracha, the first editor of the Encyclopedia Talmudic, a great, great Talmud Chacham. He asks a very simple question. Rashi asked a question, but he didn't really answer it. Rashi asked, what does Shemitah have to do with Har Sinai? What does Shemitah have to do with Har Sinai? So he says, to tell me that just like Shemitah, its laws and all of its details were said at Sinai, so too all the rest of Torah. So he asks, well, Torah could have done that with any other mitzvah. Take another mitzvah. Put on tefillin. And the tefillin should have this, and the tefillin should have that, and they should look like this, and they should look like that. You could have taken any mitzvah in Torah, and also teach us the same principle that just as the general rules and the details were said at Sinai, so to all of the rest. Why Shemitah? Rashi didn't answer that. So he says, of course Rashi answered that. What it means, therefore, is that there's something about Shemitah that is so all-embracing and so all-encompassing. It seems to be a microcosm of all of Torah. He says the following, of Shlosha Dvarim HaOlam Omeid, the famous Mishnah in Pirkei Avot, Torah stands on three pillars. The world stands on three pillars. Torah, Avoda, and Gmilat Chasadim, the study of Torah, the fulfillment of the mitzvahs of Torah. Avoda, well, can have a number of meanings. Service in the Beit HaMikdash, it also means tefillah, our prayer. But he says you should know that it also means avoda, you know, work. That word work, man works. Torah avoda, gemilus chasodim, and kindness to other people. He says Torah stands on the following three pillars: the relationship between man and God, the relationship between man and himself, and the relationship between man and fellow man. Torah is the relationship between man and God. Avoda, what I do, what I am, that develops the relationship between me and myself. I have to be a productive citizen doing important things. Gemilus Chasadim, of course, represents the relationship between man and fellow man, Jew and fellow Jew. All three of these pillars exist in the midst of Shemitah. Shemitah first and foremost comes to tell us somebody owns this land. The earth is the Lord's. It belongs to Him. And every 7 years He tells us, Chevra, this is my year. I am establishing my ownership. All of the fulfillment of the mitzvah of Shemitah is the idea hammered into our head, something many of us still have to learn. L'Hashem ha'oretz u'meloah. The land and all that's in it belongs to him. Ki li kol ha'oretz. It's all mine. So there, in Shemitah, we have the relationship between the Jew and his God. The halacha in Shemitah is, and all part of the totality of Shemitah is, sheishanim, 6 years you work, and in Shemitah you rest. Shemitah, your relationship with your God and your relationship with yourself, you're going to find yourself during the course of the Shemitah year. All that work, and now is the time for study. So it also represents the idea of man coming closer to himself. And then, of course, the halacha of Shemitah, the basic and fundamental halacha of Shemitah, anything that grows belongs to everybody. There's nothing that belongs to me. It belongs to everybody. The poor shall eat, anybody who wants. And the truth is, it means not only the poor but rich. The idea that everything that I have belongs to everybody else is certainly the greatest step in the direction of Gemilas Chasadim. So that therefore, Shemitah expresses these three great pillars that make up the world. Torah, Avoda, Gemilas Chasadim. Right? Now we've done that. Now we have to get to the heart of the shir. Yeah, I would say, if I would, I will probably have to give at the end of the shir, I have to give a title to the shir. What I hope to do is rules of thumb for green thumbs in Shemitah. Rules of thumb. And, well, let's go, and if, just don't get nervous. If we don't get it all done today, we're still going to have a month before Shemitah comes when we get back to learning again on Rosh Chodesh Elul. Okay. I'm going to choose a number of laws, a number of halachas in the Rambam in order to create the background on which everything is built. The Rambam, at the very beginning of Hilchos Shemitah, Mitzvah Taseh, it is a positive commandment, lishbot, to rest. May avodat ha'aretz va'avodat ha'ilan. Working the land and working the trees. These are two separate and distinct areas of halacha. There's that which has to do with the working of the land, and that which has to do with the work of trees. You have to rest from it. Bashana Shvius in the seventh year, as it says, v'shavata ha'aretz, Shabbos Lashem, the earth is going to rest. A Shabbos to God for Nema, and it also says, Bechoreshu Bechotzer Tishbos, that you should rest from plowing and from harvesting. Bechol Ha'osa Melocha Me'avodas Ha'aretz, and anybody who does work from either the work of the land, O Ha'ilanot, on the trees, Bishonazu, in this year, Bitel Mitzvah Tasei, has negated the positive commandment of Vishavata, the earth is supposed to rest, and also he has transgressed the negative command. Shenemet says, Sadecha lo tizra, right after the psukim that we have up here, it says in Torah, Sadecha lo tizra, you shall not plant your field, Vekarmecha lo tizmar, and you shall not prune your vineyard. Eino lokim in Torah, a real averim in Torah for which there is malchus, only on Zriya, planting, Smira, pruning, Kitsira, if it is harvesting the field or the grain, O Alha Bitsira. Bitsira is the technical term for harvesting the fruit of the vine. But the Rambam goes on to say, it applies not only to the vine, the Echot HaKerem, the Echot Shahilonot, not only a vineyard, but also all other trees. So these are the famous four mitzvahs of Shemitah. No planting. Now, interesting, planting, by the way, is talking about planting a seed. there will be a different halacha if you take a shetil, a what? No, or like you have something that's growing already in a sapling. That's the word I was looking for. May not be prohibited in Torah, but believe me, there are enough other prohibitions to go around for everything else. So, planting, pruning. Now remember, pruning over here is not harvesting. Pruning the vineyard is something that is necessary for its growth, for its development. Pruning, the vineyards have to be pruned. And the pruning is a form of growth, to make it grow. Ketzira is harvesting of the fields, and Betzira, as we say, is harvesting the fruits of the trees. Halacha Gimel. Uzmira bechlal zeria, ubetzira bechlal ketzira. The fact is, why did the Torah have to say all four of them when zemira, pruning the vineyard, is really under the category of zriya? If pruning is in order to improve, then it has the same idea behind it as zriya, planting. And betzira, bichlal ketzira. Now, harvesting fruit is the same thing as ketzira, harvesting grain. Why did the Torah have to express each one of them individually? If the Torah would have said zriya and ketzira, planting and harvesting, we would have known everything. To which the Rambam says, "V'loma paratan hakatuv." Why did the Torah write them clearly? Loma lacha, to tell you. Al shtei toladot elu uvad uchayev. The Av, the father, is planting, and the subheading is pruning. The Av, the main category, is ketzira, harvesting, but its subcategory is harvesting the fruit of the vine or the trees. Why did the Torah tell us this? To tell us these two, bilvad, only for zemira in addition to zeriyah, and betzira in addition to ketzira, one is chayiv and has done an avera, transgressed a Torah prohibition. V'ashara tolda shebavod ha'aretz, and all other forms of work of the land, im shar ha'avos, shalom nispar shebinyan zein, aloka alein avomakanos avomakos marmos. The importance of this statement is about, there are a lot of other things that are done in the field. There's all sorts of hoeing and watering and the chves, you know, and fertilizer. But there's so many other areas of work in the field. All of those others are also prohibited only midrabanan. Now remember, everything that we're talking about over here is about Shmita when it is min haTorah, when it is biblical. Since it has already been established by Rabbi Adler in the Shir before, that our approach to Shmita bizman hazeh, Shmita in our time, our approach is, and this is really the overwhelming weight of opinion in an awesome manner, that there is no Shmita today min haTorah. All Shmita is midrabanan, and on the basis of that, it means that whatever may have been prohibited midrabanan may very well be today permitted under certain circumstances, because we're dealing with a completely different situation than existed at the time of the first Beit HaMikdash, and possibly, according to some, during the period of the second Beit HaMikdash. One more. We'll see the next. Everything is going to emerge. Ketzad. Halacha 4. Hachofer. Somebody who digs in the field. Oh, hachodesh. Or somebody plows. Litzora hakarka. For the purpose of the land. Because, see, later on, the Rambam's going to tell us, halacha, what happens if I have to. We want to put down a pipeline. I want to do some plumbing work, then I have to dig up part of my backyard. Or tearing up another street in Yerushalayim for the 100th time. Right? So there it's going to be all sorts of digging and all sorts of big earth-moving things, and then digging the land. The only kind of digging into the land is prohibited is if its purpose is in order that one should be able to use the land for planting afterwards. If all of the digging is done for anything else, if in your backyard garden, I don't know, you want to put out a patio, do any other kind of work, then that digging is permitted. But I would suggest anyway, don't really do anything in your backyard until you call your local Orthodox rabbi. But basically, all sorts of digging and plowing in the land would be prohibited if the purpose is in order to prepare the land for planting. Oh, Hamasakel means removing stones from the earth. Or Mizabel, one who fertilizes. The Chayotzben and similar, Misharavodakarets, all sorts of other work of the land. The Chain HaMavrich, or HaMarkif, or HaNoteya. Mavrich means they would bend over a vine and dig it into the ground, and what would come out is a new vine would come out. Markiv is grafting. You take a branch from one tree and you insert it into another tree. Or noteya. Noteya. Saplings. Remember I told you Zriya, when the Rambam said that Zriya is prohibited in the Torah, that's seeds. Noteya is planting saplings. The Chayotzben and all other me'avodat ha'ilanot, things that you do for the trees, makin oto makat maradut mitivrein, one receives rabbinic flagellations because he has been over on a rabbinic law. And then there are all sorts of other things, removing dead leaves, removing dead branches. There are a whole host of things that are prohibited midrabanan. Some will be permitted, others not. Now, yes. Semira is pruning. Bitzira is harvesting. Except that you have to understand in Hebrew, there is a different word. It's a very rich language. The harvesting of different products of the field have different words to describe them. For example, harvesting olives is moskim. Okay? Yes? No? The Rambam said all harvesting of fruit, not only the vine, all other trees as well, all minat Torah. Now, Ein notin vashviit afilu ilan srak. The prohibition of planting in Shemitah even a non-fruit-bearing tree. Even a non-fruit-bearing tree. Velo yachtoch, and you shouldn't cut off hayabolet min ha'ibolet, yabolet min ha'ilanot, certain growths on the trees. Below Yifadi Kolin, remove leaves and badim and pieces of wood that are dry. Below Yaave Get Samarto, he's going to list here all sorts of a variety of additional things that are done for trees. We don't have to learn them with all sorts of things. Tying the trees so that they should grow straight, protecting them from the cold weather. There's so many different things that farmers do for their product. You're not allowed to do that. Okay. Now, it's very important, of course, that we know that even a non-fruit-bearing tree can't be planted in Shemitah. That means when it comes to planting, there's nothing to talk about. Forget it. The only time where you can think about it, of course, is what happens if you have a flower pot. Where do you going to get to that, but here's the rule of thumb. A flower pot outside of the house has the exact same halacha as the ground itself. Absolutely anything that is prohibited in the field is prohibited in an outdoor flower pot. If you have a desperate need to plant something in Shemitah, you can do it in a flower pot indoors. Because the Talmud, where the window is outside, the windowsill is outside, the outside windowsill is outside. Inside, it's inside. So in an inside flower pot, you can just go all, sort of just about do anything that might be an aveira any place else you can do in a flower pot that's in the house. Yeah? Can you move? Oh, no, I can't move it outside. For example, the halach is, what happens if you decide to move from one apartment to the next? So there are two shittos what to do. Number one, don't throw out your flower pots. Rav Shlomo Zalman says that you can, if you're taking the pot from one house to another, even though there will be a period of time that it's going to be outdoors, it's okay. Rav Eliashiv and others say that you should have it wrapped in plastic. In plastic. And by the way, once we're talking about this, there's a difference between flower pots on the second story in a house, the third or the fourth, or one that is on ground level. On ground level, there are certain circumstances under which a flower pot would have a halacha like the ground, because in a sense it draws nourishment from the ground. So the accepted solution is simply put a plate under it. By the way, we put plates under our on the flower pots in the house anyway, because when you're going to water them, it's going to, all right. We don't want that a lot. Okay. In Halacha 9, the Rambam talks about a very important halacha. You're allowed to water. You're allowed to water your plants. You're allowed to water. And not only that, if you have an orchard, you can make little furrows leading from one tree to the next so that water could flow from one tree to the next. And he lists even the idea that you can make a canal for water to come into the field in Shemitah. And here we come to Halacha Yud. Why is all this permitted? And here you're going to get a hashkafa of Shemitah that will really inform us as the direction in which to go. Shimlo yashke, because if you're not going to water, te'ose ha'aretz melecha, the earth is going to become salted. You're going to ruin the earth. The halach of Shemitah is not to let the land lie fallow to the extent that you are be able to, or you'll have a great deal of difficulty planting after Shemitah. You may maintain the land. You have to maintain the land. Shemitah is not a year in which the land has to look like desolation. There is an erech, there's a value, a Torah value to a beautiful Eretz Yisrael. Eretz Yisrael Yafah. This is the Rebbeinu Shlalom's living room. And you have to keep Eretz Yisrael beautiful. There is nothing that was ever also with regard to maintaining the ongoing beauty and fragrance of Eretz Yisrael. The Rambam says, why will all this permit it? Shimlo yashke, because if you're not going to water, te'ose ha'aretz melecha, it's going to become salty, v'yomus kol eitz sheva. And all trees will die. You're going to bring death to the country. Behold, the Yisr HaTvarim Ha'ele, the Chayotzerem Yidivrem, and since all of these prohibitions are only rabbinic, Lo Gozru Aleila, our rabbis not decree against any of these. All of the things that are permitted are that which has as its purpose to maintain, to preserve the land. This is the main rule of thumb with regard to your private garden. The most important rule of thumb is the following. that anything that's done in order to maintain, to protect, or to make sure that there will not be serious damage, and you don't have to wait for serious damage to find out that it's seriously damaged, you are permitted to do in Shemitah. But anything that is to increase the strength or the growth or the produce is prohibited. And in the Gemara, the two terms are, you might as well know the terms, there is le'ukmi ilona. Le'ukmi ilona means to keep everything maintained properly. And there is la'avruye. Avruye means to make it even more healthy and more produce. That is prohibited in Shemitah. Yes? With what? Oh, that's all part of it, of course. Very good question. She asked, what about weeds? All right, here I'm going to give you a number of additional rules of thumb. And I think this was said in one sentence by Rabbi Atlin this year before. The fact is that for the private garden, this I'm adding, I'm so thrilled that I have a garden. I'm so thrilled that I have a garden. And I have more than 3 centimeters by 3 centimeters someplace up there. And I didn't call 1-800-SHMIDA. But Pashit, having a garden and with flower pots in the house, one will retain during the period of this whole year a sense of Shemitah. A sense of Shemitah. Otherwise, everybody's going to be doing all the work for us. We'll just have to know what store to buy in, and so we'll just go in and buy there. I don't think you should just go and buy any place. You know exactly where things come from. But if you have a garden, then there's a Shemitah awareness that you can't have any place in the world. A Shemitah awareness. So now, we were asked about weeds. So the first thing I thought, here, right before the shiur, I wrote down a cloud, a rule that was running through my head for the last few days. You don't have this. I'm reading on my, this is my personal copy where I put my notes. Mishahechin be'erev Shabbos yochal b'Shabbos, the Gemara says. Anybody who prepares on Erev Shabbos will have what to eat on Shabbos. If you didn't make a chont on Erev Shabbos, guaranteed you will not have a chont to eat on Shabbos. That's a very significant rule of thumb for the private gardener. Nearly all of the major work that is necessary to maintain a beautiful garden all year can be done in advance. Yeah, if you have a garden, get in touch with your gardener right after the shiur. When you are permitted to turn your cell phones on, then you can call the gardener. Because the fact is, all pruning that has to be done can be done in advance of Shemitah. That's why the shiur is being given now, so you will have time to prepare. Any fertilizing that is necessary can be done in advance, and with the new kind of fertilizers that it's like, what is it? Like what? Time release, like contact. You remember contact for colds? It keeps releasing these little things in your body for 24 hours. All right. So there are time release fertilizers. You can do all the fertilizing now before Rosh Hashanah. All the fertilizing and all of the pruning, whatever else has to be done. But you need a gardener that knows his business. Yes? Yeah. Just for a moment. I'm sorry. No. I'm going to say the shiur that I gave 7 years ago was preparation for this shmita. This one is for next shmita. One moment. I got to get a few things. We're talking about just weeds. So number one, there are two ways to deal with weeds. One is chemically. And by the way, always preferable in Shemitah year to do it chemically. There are certain chemicals that you put by the weeds and it'll kill it. If you can't do that, and there is a possibility that it may really cause some damage to your garden, then you can cut it off at the top without uprooting it. If it's really necessary, then you can even take it out by its roots. But it all has to begin with, in that order. First, try to do it in a way that you don't have to deal with the earth at all. As everybody's getting older. Yeah. Yeah. A good question. The Rambam says clearly, if you're going to cut branches off for schach, for a sukkah, mutter. Because the only time of cutting branches is prohibited is the purpose is in order that it should improve growth. By the way, if it will improve growth anyway, but it's clear to everybody that you're cutting it for schach, you're permitted to cut it for schach. So, yes? Huh? You can pull the dead flower off. You're running ahead. You're cheating. You're reading ahead, right? That's okay. That's your sin, all right? I'm not going to get... Let me go for another few minutes, and I'll give you time at the end of the year to ask questions. Otherwise, I know it's beautiful. You all want to know, so give me another few minutes here. All right. Now, Halacha Yud Aleph. I mean, there are 13 chapters in the Rambam. I chose what will be most necessary for us now. Af bisman hazeh, Halacha Yud Aleph. Af bisman hazeh, even nowadays. Ein notin ilonos, you don't plant trees. Ve'ein markivin, and you're not permitted to graft. Ve'ein mavrichin, and you don't bend branches of trees into the ground, erev shvius, elekadesh tiflot hanetia, b'tishher achar achlito shloshim yom kodem rosh hashanah shel shvius. I'll explain exactly what it means. This, if you want to plant a fruit-bearing tree in your backyard, you must do it by two ba'av. Why? Because the halacha is the following. The halacha is, number one, it takes 2 weeks, for a tree to take root in the ground. And if it's a fruit-bearing tree, we don't want that the first year that's counted toward the 3 years of Orlo, there are 3 years in which you're not permitted to eat the fruit of the tree. There's a fourth year that is called Netaravai that has the same halacha as Maaseh Sheni. It's Kodesh. We don't want that Shemitah should be counted as year one, because that would leave the impression at some point in time that this tree may have been planted in Shemitah. But if it has already been rooted in the ground by Rosh Chodesh Elul 1 month before Shemitah, the halacha is 1 month at the beginning of the 3 years of Orlo, or if I, 1 month equals a year. Which means if you plant by Hamishosa Ba'av, a nice fruit-bearing tree in your backyard, 2 weeks will go by and it will have taken root. And then there's going to be a complete month until the beginning of Shemitah. Beginning of Shemitah, you start counting year two. So therefore, this is a halacha that applies right now. Anybody who wants, by the way, you can even plant it today. You don't have to wait for the 15th of Av. You can do it today. And kol hakodem is better off. Now there are going to be periods of time for anything else. Most anything else that we're going to plant in a private garden can be planted many up until Rosh Hashanah itself, Erev Rosh Hashanah. There are certain plants that require 3 days before Rosh Hashanah, and there are some plants that require 2 weeks before Rosh Hashanah. I can't go into all the details now, but in Yetzer Hashem, we're still going to have a month before Rosh Hashanah comes. So the Chamam, read this Chamam again. Even nowadays, ain't no tin ilonos. You don't plant saplings, trees, Elo, if it's Erev Shemitah, we are right now in Erev Shemitah. Elo Kadesha Tiklo Tanetia, the sapling should be absorbed into the ground, klika, vitishher achana klika, shloshim yom kodem rosh hashanah shel shviyos, and it should be able to remain that way in the ground for a period of 30 days before the onset of Shemitah. Ustam klika shtei shavasos, 2 weeks is the normal amount of time for a tree to take root. Vidovo zeh also le'olam, this is always prohibited. You know why the Rambam is saying this? Because what preceded over here, by the way, this Yud Aleph over here in the Rambam does not follow Yud. This Yud Aleph is from the end of chapter 2 in the Rambam. I don't want you to get confused. And there the Rambam had been talking about during the period of the Beit HaMikdash. Work in certain areas had to stop Pesach time in the fields. It had to stop Pesach before Shemitah. And in the orchards, it had to stop at Shavuos. And the Gemara says that all of this was true at the time of the Beit HaMikdash. Following the destruction of Beit HaMikdash, everything goes back to what it originally was, that Shemitah begins with Rosh Hashanah. However, that's why the Rambam said, even nowadays, when it's not in the time of the Beit HaMikdash, and all of the early preparations for Shemitah no longer apply, but there are certain basic things that must apply. Fruit-bearing trees, it's really 44 days. 30 plus 2 weeks, 30, 2 weeks is 14 days, 30 and 14 is 44. 44 days before Shemitah. The Tovah Zeh also Le'olam, this is what I told you, this is always prohibited, Mipnei Maris Ha'ayin, because what people will see, Shema Yomer Haroe, lest the person who sees it say, Bashvius Nato, that he planted this fruit-bearing tree in Shvius. Nimsis Oma, so therefore, now watch, it goes even further. Noteya O Mavrich O Makiv Erev Shvius Kodem Rosh Hashanah, Barbo Varboim Yom, if he planted or did any of these works 44 days before, Yekaye, he's permitted to keep it. Pachot Mekayim, if you planted a tree on the 17th, the 18th of Av, you know what you're going to have to do before Rosh Hashanah? Uproot it. The halach is you have to uproot it. You can't permit it. Vimlo Akar, if you didn't uproot it, and there will be fruit, haperos mutar. The fruit is mutar. Vimeis kodem shiakor, if the person died before he was able to uproot it, mechayvin et hayore shlakor, the one who inherits it has to uproot it. Okay. So we've given a number of rules of thumb. I want to go now. We're going in general order. We're up to page 3, right? It says at the top, general guidelines and summary. And on the... we're going to get some of them in. And I say that... these pages were taken from a booklet that was written by Rabbi Eliezer Simcha Weiss of Kfar Roer, and 7 years ago he said a shir on Shemitah here. General guidelines and summary. A general but important guideline states that all gardening activities prohibited by rabbinical authorities, yet permitted for survival of the tree or plant, are deemed necessary and therefore permitted only upon the professional of opinion of a suitable authority who is also a God-fearing person. Now, what he has established over here is, if what you're going to do is le'ukme ilono to maintain it, you are permitted to do it. But wait a minute, you may not know if this is le'ukme ilono or not. Now, we're going to come to if you're going to have your gardener, so one of the things that also has to be done during Shemitah is not to water as much as one waters the garden during the course of the year. You either diminish a bit the amount of water or the amount of time, and also extend a bit the time between one watering and the next. I have a feeling that's, in general, that's good principle, because I don't know why, but I have this feeling, maybe it's me, and I'm projecting all this onto you, we overwater. Sometimes we overwater. You need your professional gardener to tell you how much water is necessary. To be able to maintain it, to retain it, to make sure that there won't be loss. Any gardening activity which can be performed in advance of the Shemitah, yeah, we said this already. Anything that can be done in advance, it's now, you have enough time. So as not to depend on special exemptions during Shemitah, it is preferable to delay gardening activities from the Shemitah year until after the new year of the eighth year. In other words, if there's anything new you want to do, all of a sudden you decide, to plant something. So during the Shemitah year, of course, you cannot plant, and that's going to have to wait until the eighth year. Gardening activities forbidden to a landowner are also forbidden to his laborer or employee. Likewise, any activity permitted to a landowner may be performed by his employee. In other words, I can't... There are so many issues, but well, if you live in an apartment house and there are religious and non-religious people, this becomes an issue before Shemitah. You pay vat by it. Now what happens if the people in the building want the gardener to go about his normal activities during the course of the Shemitah year, and you're paying vat by it for these isurim to be done on land that you are a partial owner? I mean, you have a responsibility. You can't let that... It makes no difference. In my good question that you asked, makes no difference. In my land, I can't have anybody work. Because as the Rambam, the very opening of the Rambam, which I didn't point out at the time, was first, what was the first halachan? Here it is. Mitzvah saseh lishvot mehavodat haaretz vavodat ha'ilam v'shir shenem v'shof toharetz. The land has to be at rest. Not only is there halacha that I shouldn't do work in the field, I have to make sure that the land should be at rest. And it's similar in this respect, it's similar to the halacha of Shabbos. Not only am I not permitted to work with my animal on Shabbos, I cannot have a guy work with my animal. I can't have anybody do work in my land in Shemitah. So what do you do if you live in an apartment house and... of course, the first thing is you have a calm vat bayit meeting, and somebody gets up and explains the beauty of Shemitah and all the rest. So chances are maybe you'll succeed. If you succeed, then it's okay. If you don't succeed, and you come up against a number of fellows who are simply opposed to all of this religious stuff. So you have a number of options, and I'm only going to throw them out now, but I'm not telling you what to do. You'll ask your local Orthodox rabbi. There is one possibility. One possibility is that in the presence of three people, I relinquish my right to my piece of land. I'm saying I don't own anything in the garden. Once I don't own anything in the garden, whatever happens there doesn't make any difference. By the way, Rav Shlomo Zalman says one thing you can't do. Shlomo Zalman said you can't say, I'm not paying vad by it. Take me to court, I'm not paying vad. No, vad by it is something that everybody has an obligation to pay, and it doesn't necessarily mean that your money is going to the gardener who's doing all of those events. There is one opinion, but I find a great deal of difficulty with that, and that was also something that Rabbi Adler touched upon. We don't use the Heter Mechira for private gardens. The Heter Mechira was all only to maintain the agriculture of this land, not my chrysanthemums, you understand? That's not what the Heter Mechira is for. By the way, it's not simply the Rabbanut HaRashit now. It's the first time it appears in a letter that Rav Kook wrote in the Igros, the letters of Rav Kook. Rav Kook made it clear when he outlined the Heter Mechira, it's not for private gardens. You can't do that. But there is an opinion that says that when you're stuck with this, you can go ahead and sell your piece of land. Difficult. I would not suggest that. What I do suggest is you pay your fat diet. Either you can the masker, and that's all. There's nothing else that you, nothing else you can do. All right. Forever. I was waiting for somebody to ask that question. There's no such thing as, even though you're going to say the mechira, by the way, they have the mechira is for 2 years, they sell the land. See, there are not a lot of other halachas, and I think we're certainly going to have to continue when we get back. A lot of other halachas, you're going to have to know, but you see, there are many of them that we can, don't have to be learned right before Shemitah, in advance of Shemitah. For example, there will be fruit on the market that it's going to have the sanctity of Shemitah. If it has Kedushat Shviit, it has to be treated in a completely different way than, you know, a Shemitah apple. You have to be careful not to waste it, not to use it in a way it's not normally used. You can't put a Shemitah apple on a Simchas Torah flag with a candle on top of it. It has Kedusha, it has sanctity. By the way, the Ramban says it's a mitzvah to eat the fruit of Eretz Yisrael that has the sanctity of Shviyas. There are those who are just terrified of the idea of, gosh, God, I don't want to touch that. No, you have to know how, after the way it's purchased is different. So I say I'm frustrating you now, but I'm just promising you that in Yitzhak Hashem we will carry on. Let me just see. I just so much. All right, you know what? I'll number one, Billy Nader, for the next time, I will make many, many more copies of this so that I can leave everybody with a copy. Wait a minute, there's another thing. I'm going to leave copies of all of Shir HaShirim for anybody who wants Shir HaShirim with the English. Now we're going to take a few minutes of questions. Go ahead. You're allowed to? Yes. Yes. The woman has just asked the Gemara's question. I will repeat this question. Alangu! She says, I said that it's a mitzvah to eat the fruit of Shemitah. But we just learned the pasuk that says that you're not allowed to harvest. How do you eat without harvesting? So the Gemara asked the question. This is Brother Torres Kahanam asked the question. And says that you're not allowed to harvest, lo yivitz, or you're not allowed to harvest, kederech ha-boatsvin, the way in which it's normally done in other years. In other words, when you harvest a whole orchard and you use all sorts of special implements for it, but you know how you harvest it? You harvest in Shemitah little by little, little by little. Excellent. Go ahead. Absolutely. Can you have a plant in your house in a flower pot that you will plant after Shemitah in the garden? Absolutely. Are you allowed to buy plants during the Shemitah? Here you're going to have to buy plants from places where you know that it was done properly. Now what's the pshat done properly? If they went ahead and they just planted all sorts of saplings, you know, that was usher. You don't want to bring that into your house. But remember, I told you one law. This very important law comes from the Yerushalmi. It says that you're not allowed to work the sadeh, the field, and then there has to be shemitah in the oretz. Now the oretz represents the whole land, which would include anything that's planted in a house too, because the house is also part of Eretz Yisrael. But it says sadeh, which means outdoors. So the Yerushalmi asks, what about something that's planted indoors? The Yerushalmi does not arrive at a conclusion. So the poskim say that since Shemitah today is not min haTorah, it's midrabbanan, since it's rabbinic, so therefore indoors you can plant. Indoors you can plant. Yes? Yes. You don't. Because in Shemitah, everything is hefker. By the way, if I want to come in, and you'll tell me exactly where you live, if I want to come in and have some of the fruits, you can't stop me. So the halacha is that in Shemitah, you don't have to give terumot u'ma'asrot. And this is a famous Gemara where the Gemara says, U'bor ha'levi, the Levi shall come and take ma'aser, ki ein lo chelek v'nachal lo'imach, because he has no share with you. He has no share with you in everything except in Shemitah, where everybody, all are equal. It's too much. Yes. No, I hold that you're right. He can't trample them. By the way, there's another reason why not to trample it. Because you should know this with regard to flowers. By the way, there are flowers with fragrance and flowers that don't have fragrance. Flowers that have fragrance have kedushat shvit, the sanctity of shvit, just like fruit has. And that's why in the gardening instructions, there's a great deal about how to protect roses during the course of Shemitah year, because we're talking about something that has Kedushat Shviyat. But your other plants, but he has no right to do it. It has nothing to do with Shemitah. It has to do with causing damage to a flower that grows on vegwood. You can't do that. Go ahead. You what? The question was, does the Vav Bayit have to pay the gardener full salary during Shemitah? By the way, your house in Har Nof has a gardener? I know we have a gardener for our roof garden. I didn't think gardeners existed in Harnov. Huh? Yeah, you have a gardener? I don't know, that's already a shaila, not in... Huh? Well, he has a great deal of maintenance work to do. And we said, now sometimes the maintenance work, and maybe his expertise in what's considered maintenance and what's not considered maintenance, may be worth his salary in gold. I love this. Go ahead. I'll get to the back over there right away. Yes. You're not supposed to have a gate that's locked on your garden. Except that we have a roof garden. I'm not going to say, but I don't have any fruit on my roof garden. That's the way it's supposed to be. But it doesn't have to be that way until the fruit is finally... By the way, that's also... you have to understand there's another thing. Many halachas. You can't chop down a cherry tree. Even though, wait a minute. If the cherries have not yet begun to grow, even if there's blossoming, and the tree is worth more for its value as wood, because you're not allowed to cut down a fruit-bearing tree anytime. It has nothing to do with Shemitah. You can never cut down a fruit-bearing tree. Except, of course, if the tree has greater value for its wood than for its fruit. Then you can cut it down 6 years anytime you want, even when it's laden with fruit. But the moment in Shemitah, once the fruit starts growing, if you're going to cut it down, then it's going to be a hefsed. You're going to ruin the fruit. You're not allowed to ruin it. It says in the Torah, V'haytash Shabbat ha'aretz lachem, it shall be for you la'ochlo, to eat the lola hefsed, not to cause it any damage, so you can't cut it down. By the way, that also brings us to the halacha that anything that has kedusha shvius can only be eaten in the way in which it is normally eaten. Right out of summer. All right, I still have another few minutes. Go ahead. We're going to the back now. Yes. Does it apply to your window boxes? What side of the window? Outside? Outside, that's like the land of Shemitah. Everything I said, you have to be very careful what you do over there. Ken, in Yehuda v'Shomron, in Holy Eretz Yisrael, Eretz Avot, yes? Yes? Within the context of this year and this audience, I'm not even going to begin to deal with that. If it's not Orla, it's going to be Revai. He has to know how you are Poda Revai. He needs his local Orthodox rabbi. I'm going away for 2 months to Chutz Laretz. Or three. I don't know. I'm sorry, everybody. I feel very bad. Again, thank you all for coming. I have to go. And what about if somebody's going to rent my apartment and I have a garden out there? Do I have to make sure he's not going to do anything in that garden? For every question you ask me, I'll ask you another one.
Okay, but what is happening to that?
What was the problem?
I rent.
Yes, you rent.
I whatever. Pay Vadabai,
Pay Vadabai.
Okay, so the owner wants to do whatever they want to do. How does the person help with that?
She
What?
Forget it, but pay your bad by it and forget it. I have another shit to say. There's a covering over it. Has any proper covering, then it's called babayit in the house. Wait a minute. You were here the whole time?
I was here.
Where are you living?
I actually have an apartment in Rehovia, but I'm in America, so it looks like I'm in the right
session.
And I go
that.
Every couple of weeks. So we were going to a room 2 years ago, but we're there for now.
Yeah.
But actually, I can't listen to TV because I'm in need of a posting for these issues now. You know, as your children know, I'm afraid if you calling and saying, you know, Daddy, I have a geranium, and then unfortunately I can't do that anymore. But I was hoping that I could call you about my geranium and leave it.
You may. Bella, you know what I like you to do? Give these people pieces of paper. They should write their questions, name and phone number, and Bli Nader, I will get in touch with you. I have to go to another share. I have another share to send. Any cutting for any other reason aside from improving it is permitted, but it should be cut in such a way, not the kind of incision that is usually made when you want to really take care of a tree. It should be done in a different way. Can you what? Buy in the Tisha Tayyam. There's no issue in buying a flower pot in the Tisha Tayyam. Huh? Planting the Mashu Acher. It says that you're not noteya netiot shel simcha. Does this fit into the category of netiot shel simcha? Wait till Yud Av in the morning.
What about a house?
If everything is in the house, yes. Everything is there, yes. Yes, during Shemitah.
Yes.
Okay. Layla, you know that girl? I learned by him for 2 years. Oh, he was on his half a cigarette with his. Yes. Except over there, if it comes with all of the earth around it and it will not fall apart, you can plant that even up until 3 days before Rosh Hashanah. Only if you're planting a new tree. It's not a new tree. If it has already started to count the years of Orla, and you are able to replant. I know it's not the Adama, but it is the Adama. It's in Adama in this plant. You don't have to have it in all the Adama of the world. Until 3 days before Rosh Hashanah. I have to say a shiur now. I don't have time to listen to stories. I love listening.